Okay. Well, thanks for that, guys. It's great to see everybody coming in and onto the website. 54 so far attendees from all those different countries. And this is something, what I'm sharing, I tend to share what God's been putting on my heart. So really, this is a big share about, if you take one side of the coin as being the father heart of God, take the other side, our sonship, and having the heart of a son. When we say son, we mean daughters as well, so it's not a gender thing. It's having the heart of a son, and it's about having the spirit of sonship. So I just want to talk about that, but we'll start with the whole thing about orphan thinking, first of all, about the orphan heart. I don't want to talk too much about that because, to be honest, it gets me down. I did some teaching on that recently in Norway, and I was going for about half a day on it, and I just thought, oh, I've had enough of this. Let me get to the heart of a son. I hope you can read that. It seems to be dying a little there. Perhaps I'm rubbing it out. I should stop. The heart of a son or a daughter, the spirit of sonship. And I think very importantly now, what God's showing me is thinking as a son. Thinking not as an orphan, but thinking as a son. As a man thinks, so he is, it says in Proverbs. So the way that we think about God, the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we think about the spiritual part of our lives and our relationship with God, the way we think about God is really going to affect our lives and how we are. So thinking as a son and having the heart of a son. This is the overview, if you like, of what I'm wanting to talk about tonight. I want to say that this revelation for me, it may not be for you, it may be not really fresh for you, I don't know, but it was a real revelation for me. The orphans lack. If you like, that's the big thing for me. Orphan thinking is about lack, what you lack, where the holes are, where the gaps are. And orphans, if you like, in the physical realm, if you actually think about physically an orphan, not spiritually, they're characterized by lack, what they don't have. We'll go into that shortly. And I then sense that because we lack, we may feel spiritually and physically, to feel a need to make up for the lack. We want to fill in the holes, fill in the gaps in our lives. And orphan thinking and the heart of an orphan, the spirit of an orphan, I feel very much comes from this sense of lack, this sense of needing to be fulfilled, this sense of needing fulfillment. And so people then, perhaps with that orphan spirit, that orphan heart, strive to fill the gaps, strive to fill in the holes. Or oppositely, they may just become defeatist and say, it's not fair, I'm hard done to. And they wallow in self-pity, or they just give in, and they just can't really cope with life. This is part of an overview at the moment, and I want to then go on to say, sons and daughters, you don't lack anything. You do not lack anything. And you don't need to keep searching to be fulfilled. Walking in the Spirit of God, walking in His Spirit, which helps us to cry, Abba, Father, you can be filled to the full. You can be fulfilled, and you don't lack anything. And I think in terms of having the heart of sonship, it's coming with that heart that says, the King of Love, my Shepherd is. His goodness faileth never. I nothing lack. I nothing lack if I am His, and He is mine forever. So we don't lack. Sons and daughters don't lack anything. And we don't need to keep searching to be fulfilled. We just need to be open to Him, to our Father, to be fulfilled. And so still on this overview of what I'm going to be speaking about today, I am, you are, a son or a daughter of God. You're in the household. You're in the family. You're in the house. You're embraced by your Father. But we don't always see it that way. We don't always live in it. We don't always abide in it. Jesus said, didn't He? Abide in me, and I also in you. The Father says, I've come to dwell in you. And the encouragement in Scripture is that we would dwell, we would abide in Him too. And what I'm coming to more, my prayer, and I'm going to invite you to say the prayer with me at the end. I've written it out. The prayer at the end, I'm saying, Father, I want the heart of sonship. We had a little dog years ago called Poppy, and she was a beagle. And for the first 2 or 3 years of her life, basically, she would just wander off with her nose, like she'd be sniffing on a trail. And she was all nose and no ears. And if you called her back, she wouldn't come. And she was a little wander dog. She used to wander off. She'd wander off the pathway. And if she went, you couldn't get her back. When she was a puppy, she was gone on the trail of a fox, on the trail of a bird, whatever it was, she was on the trail. And that was dangerous because, unfortunately, we lived near a very busy, busy road. And when she wandered off, she would have to cross that road to come home. It's likely she'd get killed. So we had to put her on the lead. We had to discipline little Poppy and keep her close. And then after a few years, we could let her off the lead. And she would stay by our side, go a little wander, but then come back. And actually, we'd grown so much in relationship. She'd grown in relationship with my wife and I and our family that actually she didn't want to wander off. She wanted to stay close to us. It was all about relationship. And I think this thing, I want the heart of a son. I want the spirit of sonship. And where do I look for that? Well, we need to look at Jesus, who is the perfect son. And so I pray to be more and more conformed to the image of perfect son Jesus, to be rid of orphan thinking, to be rid of thinking that says, I lack, I haven't got this, I haven't got that. I feel bad about this, I feel bad about that. To get rid of that, to get rid of that thinking and to replace it. And so replace it with the thinking and the spirit of a son or a daughter of God. So that's the overview. That's where I'm aiming to go tonight. So let's spend a little time on this orphan heart. Well, quite clearly at the top there, orphans lack a mother and a father. In the physical realm, an orphan, by description, lacks a mother and a father. I mean, I did know somebody whose mother and father got rid of her. She did have a mother and father, but actually, they weren't around. They weren't around for her. And I know some people who live with mothers and fathers, and they're not around for them. So, certainly, orphans lack a mother and a father. They lack a name. They haven't got a name. They haven't got an inheritance. They may not have significance. Who am I? Do I count? Do I fit? Do I belong? How do I fit? With whom do I fit? They seem not to have an identity. An orphan doesn't really have an identity. And it's these sort of things that orphans have to carve out for themselves. I remember once looking at this next one down, a sense of belonging, do they fit? We have a foster son, he's now 12, and I remember a year ago he said to Chris, my wife, Chris, when you and John die, do I get the house? You see, he's been fostered with us, he's been with us since he was 1 year old. And he's getting to 12, 11, and he's thinking, who am I? Do I fit? Do I belong in this family? Do I get an inheritance? Am I coming into some money? I mean, I know it's funny, but what's going on in his head? What's he saying in his head? Do I fit? And for him and for the orphan, they lack assurance. They're not assured. They may lack affirmation. And don't get me wrong. There are people who are looking in the physical realm after orphans, and they're doing a great job. They're giving them affirmation, they're giving them love, they're giving acceptance. But actually, if you're an orphan and there's nobody around to look after you, then you're lacking that. You're lacking. This is the whole point. Orphans lack affirmation. They lack love. They lack acceptance. What do you get in the home? You get security in the home. You feel secure. I remember my little grandson. We were putting him in the big double bed upstairs a few weeks ago, and Grandma said to him, are you all right there, little chap? I won't mention names on the internet, of course, but are you okay there, little chap? And he said, well, yes, but what if I get scared in the middle of the night. Well, Grandma said, well, you know where we are. You can come round to our bedroom. You can come across. It's just down the corridor there. Oh, well, I think I'm scared now. So he got up out of the bed, toddled along the corridor, and came and got into our bedroom. Security. A sense of love. A sense of protection. A sense of provision. And orphans lack those. Orphans lack clear and firm boundaries. You know, it's the parents who set up, these are your boundaries. There is a difference between rules and boundaries, I think. You know, rules are, you will not, you will not, you will not. Boundaries are, you can, but only so far. You know, a boundary in cricket is a long way away, and there's lots of space in which to play in the middle of the field. Boundaries are, say, we say, you can go this far. It's like God said to Adam and Eve, isn't it, in the garden. He said, you know, it's not just rules and regulations. It's basically, this is all here for you to enjoy, but there's one bit, don't go there. And of course we did. But at home, parents provide, hopefully, clear, firm boundaries. So orphans will lack kindness, warmth, affection. They'll lack comfort. I relate the story once. I was coming home from riding my bicycle, and I'd fallen off my bike and onto a barbed wire fence. And I hit this barbed wire fence and ripped all of my side. I've still got the scar. And I was a big, tough boy, 11 years old. I'd just gone, I was winning the Tour de France, as far as I was concerned, riding this bicycle. And I set off and I got home, and my mum said, are you okay, John? And I just burst out crying. I burst out crying because my mum was there. And she took my shirt up and she bathed the wound. She cleaned it out. And I still have the scar. And now the scar reminds me, actually, not of a hurt, of the hurt. It reminds me of her kindness. It reminds me of her care. It reminds me of her comfort. It reminds me of her love. And sometimes scars are there to remind us of that. But for an orphan, possibly not. They lack gifts. You know, the kingdom of heaven is all about gifts. It's all about giving. It's all about receiving. Now, the trouble is when you lack these things, and there's a long list there, and actually, I think I've got another 10 that I didn't put down there, but when we lack those things, that can lead to an orphan compensating for the lack, filling in the holes, filling in the gaps. So, for instance, if you haven't got a name, then it may lead you to strive to make a name for yourself. You know the Tower of Babel? When they built the Tower of Babel, and interestingly, they built it, they didn't build it out of stones, they built it out of bricks and mortar. So the bricks were all the same. The mortar, it fixed it. But the whole point in Genesis, it says, when they built the Tower of Babel, it was so they would make a name for themselves. If you're orphan-hearted and you haven't got a name, you want to make a name for yourself. I know John, just before we started tonight, he was praying. Father, we don't need to make a name. You know your name? You're a son of God. You know who gave you that name? The Son of God, who became the Son of Man, who died on a cross that we might be a son of God. So we don't need to strive to make a name for ourselves. But if you're an orphan, you do. You strive. You work hard to fill the gaps. If you're not receiving love, you'll do anything to be loved, to be praised, to be affirmed. You do anything to be comforted. You'll seek comfort wherever you can get comfort because you need comfort. God put that in us. We need to be loved. We need to be affirmed. We need to be, I love this word, cherished. And if you're not getting those things, if you lack those things, which orphans lack, and it's very likely you'll seek them elsewhere. Or, what I said before, you'll either seek those things elsewhere or you'll just give up and say, it's not fair. Nobody loves me. The next one down, fighting for what you can get. Having to make your own way. If you haven't got significance. If you haven't got a destiny. If you haven't got someone who's guiding you. Again, I think of my little grandson. His daddy is an electrician. He wears a hard hat. he puts on his hard hat. Just the other day, my wife was in the kitchen, and a little guy came in and he said, what are you doing, Grandma? And she said, oh, I've got a problem with the sink. He said, I can fix it. He's only three. He said, I can fix it. So he puts his hard hat on, and Grandma gives him some tape, which is some gaffer tape, and I've got a picture of him. He's under the sink, and he's taken everything out of the sink, and he's asking for the gaffer tape, and he's fixing it. He wants to be like his dad. You know, he's going to be like his dad. He doesn't have to fight to make his way. He just follows in his father's footsteps. He's just following in his father's footsteps. That's what sons and daughters do. And orphans may have to be seen there begging always for help. You know, if orphans, they don't have an identity, then they'll join a group that will give him an identity. They'll join a group that basically says, oh, you can have identity if you join us. So whatever they join, they go full on and join that group. And they're full in. They've got all the clothes. They've got all the ways of speaking. They've got all the ways of... sounds like church, forgive me. But they join, and they join the group, and they get the identity. And it's like, oh, we're here now. We speak the language. We have the scarf. We have the, you know, whatever. Orphans lack. And what I'm saying there is that, and again, the list could be much longer, but if you lack, you're trying to fill in the holes. If you lack, you're trying to fill the hurt. You're trying to fill the pain. You're trying to fill the gap. And what about the attitudes then of an orphan? Well, if you're on your own, then basically you get this mindset that says, I'm on my own here. So I have to stand on my own two feet. And so something like independence kicks in then. Now, God wants us to develop us to independence, but not with an independent spirit. He wants us to, you know, not just be drinking milk all the time, but to become mature. He wants us to stand strong. The Bible says do that. But not with an independent spirit. Now, I've had foster children. We've had other foster children. And one in particular, I remember she was coming to, bless her, we love her to bits, but she was coming to take her her exams for passing the test as a driver. And she was a brilliant driver. The driving instructor said, she's fantastic, awesome. And so she came to do a theory test. We have to do a theory test, and there's a hazard perception thing that you have on the internet, and you prepare for all that. And so she's ready to go for this test. And so she practices. And I said, if you want any help, give me a shout. She never asked. She never wanted help. I'll do it. I can manage. And she failed the first time. She failed the second time. She failed the third time. I said, do you want some help? No, I can manage. She failed the fourth time. She failed the fifth time. She's still not driving. It's sort of, I'll make my own way. And possibly they do. By hands, they learn the hard way. I've said already, need to prove yourself to make a name, the Tower of Babel. You got to be tough, not meek. You got to be tough. You got to have the will to survive to get by, because you're an orphan. You got to stand up for yourself, or you come into this thing. It's not fair. You defeated this. I always get a raw deal. It's not fair for me. Do you remember the man at the pool, and Jesus came across him, and he said to the man who'd been there for 38 years, Jesus asked him the question, do you want to get well? This guy had actually got, I mean, I know somebody who walks on crutches, and they don't ever want to go to a healing meeting and be healed by Jesus, because they said they will lose their benefits. They actually don't want to get well. They've got into this cycle of just walking with a limp. The orphan spirit can make us walk with a limp, spiritually, is what I'm saying. Do you remember Naomi, when she comes back in the story of Ruth? I'm looking at self-pity now. Naomi comes back, and Ruth, bless her, God's provision. I regard Ruth is God's provision for Naomi. And Naomi misses it. She misses Ruth. as God's provision. She comes back, and understandably, she's lost her husband and her two sons. And she comes back into the land where there's been a famine. And she comes back when everything's now okay. And the women say, oh, here's Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. You know, God has dealt bitterly with me, badly with me. Self-pity. You see why I get fed up of talking about all this? You see, the thing is, we bits of this orphan thing hanging on in us. We bit of this orphan thinking, this orphan heart, because Satan is the ultimate orphan. Jesus is the ultimate son. And when in the Garden of Eden we went after Satan and his lies, and we listened to his lies, and we turned away from the Father of light to the Father of lies, then we took on some of this orphan. You see, he's the ultimate orphan, and he wants us to drag us down to his level. So we have to get our thinking straight. We have to really see who we are. Attitudes of the orphan, the world owes me a living. The lack of boundaries and leading to immorality and anything goes. I feel this has been part of my life, you know, the attitude of the orphan. The next one, self-interest, self-seeking, looking out for yourself. I just feel that, you know, I've been 63 years on this planet, and I just turned around a few months ago and thought, you know, it's all about me. It's all about me. And so I feel God's just revealing to me, just giving me that sense of, you know, I want to be a son to my father. I don't want to go with this orphan thinking. And often it's hard work just to get along. It's a constant battle. It's a dog-eat-dog mentality. It's my heart is broken, I'm empty, there's hurt, there's pain. And this business of struggling to receive or struggling to give, the kingdom of God is giving. It's about blessing, it's about favor, it's about receiving, it's about giving. For the orphan, it's not. It's about grab what you can and keep it so that you get possessiveness. You don't let go of what you've got. You know, you're gonna work hard to get it. You're going to strive to get it, and you're going to keep it, and you're not going to share it. You're not going to let anybody touch it. It's orphan thinking. It's orphan spirit. Well, this is a bad one. Struggle to receive constructive help. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but if somebody, you know, you go somewhere and 100 people are there, 99 people say, oh, we loved it, John, thank you very much. One person comes to you and says, you know, I was a bit concerned when you said this. And it gnaws away at your head for weeks. You take it as rejection. We take it as criticism. When actually, I mean, it might have been said in a critical way, but even if it's said in a loving and in a caring and in a gentle, kind way, we can take it as, you know, a real challenge to us. We see it as criticism. I remember just having to speak to a particular guy when I was pastoring a church. I'm not doing that at the moment. When I was leading a church, there was a guy, and I just saw something that he was involved in that I thought, no, it's not good in the church. I don't want that. So I just took him on one side, and I had a gentle, quiet word with him. I was really gentle. I just said, look, we're not out of fellowship, mate. I still love you. You're my brother. You're a great guy. But I just need to have a word with you about this. Let's. He left. Never heard from him since. That's 3 years ago. He just couldn't come. And then the final one there. Again, the list could go on and on. Restlessness. Never peace. Never settled. You know, God said to Satan, where have you been? What have you been doing? I love these conversations between God and Satan. Where have you been? What have you been up to? And he says, oh, I've been wandering the whole earth. And I think for an orphan, there is a restlessness. They're not at peace. They're never settled. Shall we get off this? Shall we get to daughters and sons? Sons and daughters lack nothing. You are characterized by what you have and who you are and whose you are. The King of Love, my shepherd is. Beautiful hymn, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. You have a loving Father. You have a name. You have a home. You have acceptance, love. You are cherished. You're befriended. You are enjoyed. You have an inheritance. You have significance. You have identity. You belong. You fit. You're in the family. You have assurance. You have affirmation. You have love. You have acceptance. You have security. You have protection. You have clear and firm boundaries. A good, loving father will discipline the ones he loves. You will have loving discipline. It's good for us. You will have kindness and warmth and affection. You will have comfort. You will have gifts you will be able to receive. And you will be able to give. Somebody's written, yes please, Walter. Yeah, I'm glad to be on to this bit. I think God's put in a healthy dis-ease within me about orphan-heartedness in me. And you know, I've just been reading a book by a guy called Henry Wright. It's about healing. It's a very interesting book, A More Excellent Way by Henry Wright. And he said, let's get rid of our stinking thinking. The scripture says, take every thought captive. So when we're thinking, I lack, I haven't got this, it's not fair, let's get rid of it. Let's kick it out. And let's start to see, let's start to affirm who we really are. So can I say to you tonight, can I say to myself tonight, you don't need to strive for acceptance. You're accepted. He loves you. You don't need to compensate for the lack, the holes, the gaps. You don't need to strive to make a name for yourself. You don't need to seek always to be loved and affirmed and comforted and needing the praise of men. And you just don't need it. Just the other day, when I was in Brighton, I gave a huge hug. It's funny. I gave a hug to a guy in West Wickham, and I nestled his head into there, and I was hugging him like this, and I was speaking words of affirmation into him, and he was going, and I thought, yeah, he's really in the end there. But I was squashing him so hard he couldn't breathe. Anyway, I did let him free at the end. But I was just holding this guy when I was in Brighton, and I was just affirming him with the Father's embrace. And I said, where do you want to live? Where do you want to dwell? Why don't you live here in your Father's embrace? Why don't you dwell here? Why don't you abide in his arms? In his arms of love. Why don't you just see yourself every day? Gerd Ingeborg from Norway, they have this this little organization that they've set up for themselves. It's called Dwelling in Daddy's Arms. And I really thought about that the other day. Dwelling in Daddy's Arms. Dwelling there, living there, abiding there. That's where you live. You don't need to beg. You don't need to join the group. You don't need to fight for survival. You don't need to be saying everybody else is wrong. It's not fair. You can be content. You can be at rest. You can be at peace. So we need to take these attitudes and mindsets captive. We need to get a hold of these things. We're not meant for independence. We're meant for interdependence. We're meant to depend on our Father. We don't need to prove ourselves to make a name. We need to be gentle and meek and humble. Just like Jesus said, learn of me, for I am gentle and meek and kind. We don't need toughness and the will to survive. We will survive. We have life eternal in him. So we didn't. There's the list again. I don't want to go through it. We're sick of it. We don't need it. Dog eat dog, hard work. Struggle to receive, struggle to give, possessiveness, not letting go. Restlessness, never at peace. We don't need all that. This is what we need. I was just learning this the other day and thinking, some people say, I'm not a servant, I'm a son. Yeah, but I think that's wrong. We are servants. But we are sons, first and foremost, who are willing to serve. I'm a son, but I'm willing to do anything in the house. Clean the toilets. Welcome the guests. Run the course. Clean the dishes. Why? Because I'm a son. I'm a son with the heart of a son and the spirit of a son who's willing to serve. I'm a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I'm fine to call myself that. But I have the heart of a son. Oh, that's what I'm on. I can be the top or I can be the bottom. I can be high and below. I can be full, I can be empty. The Methodist service does a bit of this in the covenant service. It's great. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me be high. Let me be low. These are the mindsets that we should have. The mind of Christ, meekness, gentleness, rest, not striving, contentment, joy, life, love, peace, generosity, not holding on, not frightened that if we let go, we'll have nothing, we'll lack. We will not lack anything. A son or a daughter who is willing to be a servant. I don't need things to make me happy. I don't have to fight for position. I have self-control. I look out for others first. I can receive gifts and give them. I can cry and feel hurt, especially for others. You know, Jesus got angry, but not for himself. Jesus got angry when he saw injustice. Jesus cried on behalf of others. And so I'm sort of coming into land, but this is a bit that, I don't know whether you want to say this with me, but this is the prayer that I'm just praying. I'm not sort of praying it every day, but this is what is on my heart. And so I'm going to say this prayer, and you'll see an absence of scriptures, but the last slide gives you four scriptures that you can take away and just read yourselves and just wallow in those scriptures. They sum it all up. Let's. I'm going to say this prayer. If you want to say it with me, just say it. Say it aloud where you are. We can't hear you on the webcast. Why don't you just say it out to your Father? Thank you, Father, that I am your son. I belong in the house. I have a name. I am part of the family. I am born of God. You are my Father. Jesus is my brother. I have an inheritance. I do not have to work to gain position or recognition. But I will work for you, my Father, out of my love and honor for you. I am significant. I am loved. I have glorious freedom. I have an inheritance. I am growing more and more like Jesus. I have all the privileges and responsibilities of a son. And I have a wonderful dad and a wonderful family. It is such a privilege. And so, I want to please you, my Father, because I love you. I want to bring pleasure to you, my Father. I want to help out in the family business to make it prosper. I want to be like my brother Jesus and like my dad. I want to do the things you do. I want to learn from my older brother Jesus and become more like him. I love my brother, for he teaches me and helps me to be the son I want to be. I want to be a good ambassador for my Father's kingdom. I want to represent your family wherever I go. I want to honor you, my Father. I want to bring honor to the family and the family name. I'm so proud to bear the family name, your name. I'm so proud to be my Father's son, your son. I want to be around you, my Father, and learn of you. I want to be obedient to you, my Father. I want to listen and take notice. I want to contribute and be a good son, good daughter. I want to ask your advice about things, for you are very wise. I don't want to do anything to spoil the relationship we have that is so precious. I do not want to make you displeased with me. I do not want to do anything to grieve you or your Holy Spirit. I know you discipline me for my own good, and I want to submit to that discipline. I want to be a good son. I want to make the most of what I've been blessed with by you. I want to appreciate my Father's blessings to me. I want to go to you for all the help I need. I so look up to you. I'm so proud of my brother Jesus. I'm so proud of you, my Father. I'm happy to tell others about you and how amazing you are. I'm so happy in the family home. I'm so joyful and privileged. I have everything I need. You, my Father, are very rich. I do not want for anything. I do not lack. I'll just leave those scriptures up for you guys if you just want to go and turn to them sometime. Make a note of them here. Just go and read those scriptures for yourself. I thought we sort of run out of time, so I didn't put to read those scriptures.